June 29th, 2014, it's a Watt from Pedro show.
Thank you.
Walk from Pedro show. Doing a special remote broadcast here at Guitar Safari, downtown San Pedro.
Yeah,
424 6th Street. Guitar Safari, proprietor Mr. Dirk Vandenberg.
The best place in town.
Yeah. And you just heard our guest, Rick Bob. Thanks for coming aboard.
Well, it's good to be here.
And we just heard you doing, yeah, Rick, brother. All Fall Down. I think it was live from this Target Video thing you did.
Oh, really?
Early 80s, right?
Yeah, I was in traffic. So.
Okay, okay. And before that, Repulsion with Kyoka. I played bass on that as a musician in Berlin.
Oh, wow.
A new album, and I got to be a guest. And start off with Abide With Me by John Coltrane when he did his 9 months with Thelonious Monk. So, Rick, welcome aboard the show.
Well, it's good to be here. I've always been a big fan of yours.
And the ambience of the shop you hear?
And I love some of the music you just rattled off.
You know, I played every tune off of Scorched Earth Policies last year.
Yeah,
one at a time.
Thanks.
But I want to go way back.
Way back.
Yeah, with your first musical memory.
First musical memory when I was born in a classical family. I'm from Rome, Italy, originally.
Yeah.
And so I had a classical family. By that I mean that the so-called father who told me I was in his kid on his deathbed. He graduated from college with scholarship to either play football or sing, and so he sang and he went to Princeton,
New Jersey.
No, Princeton, the college.
Yeah.
I don't know where it is.
I think it's in New Jersey. I've played there.
It is in New Jersey.
It's one of the few frat parties I've ever been to in my life.
Oh, really? Well, that's an Ivy League, you know.
They were different kind of frat guys, sort of, but I've never really been part of frat. So your pop.
We called it chick Ivy League schools, and they were never called Ivy League before.
Oh.
But they called them the Seven Sisters.
Okay. Okay. So your pop.
That's like Radcliffe, all that.
Sure, sure, sure. Yale.
Right.
Harvard. William and Mary. So your first musical memory is your pop singing.
I was leading up to it. I'm one of those slow winding pitchers.
Okay.
You know, sort of a slow. I know.
No wine before it's time.
All right. My mom, if you saw the picture, I'm not sure if you are on. You are on Facebook. I'm on all. She was Alana Turner, Marilyn Monroe. Absolutely. What's a Betty Davis movie where? Dead ringer.
Yeah. Dead ringer.
Oh, man. Anyway, so she got a lot of those jobs, but she also sang. So she joined.
So it's her singing is your first.
Well, my first musical memory
is,
yeah, I guess so, you know. But I grew up in that kind of environment. Okay, so for me, later on, when I was allowed to go out by myself, and that's a whole other story. But my dad, I'll call him my dad, he said to me, he said, what are you listening to jail music for? You know, I said, what are you talking about? You know, he said, that's a bunch of, you know, black men. And they're just like, it sounds like monkeys, you know.
What was this, rock and roll?
Yeah, it was rock. It was like I was playing, I think I got Creedence, I got
Creedence.
Beatles, of course, because I'm white, and the Stones.
And
it was Brown Sugar. The first time I heard Brown Sugar or Bitch, I didn't even like it.
Okay.
You know, it took a couple of, this is the best.
You, at this time, you were in Rome?
No, this is when we moved to L.A. First place I ever hit from Rome is when they moved to sing at this restaurant. By the way, they had to make some money until they got, he sang it. If you knew New York, the other opera company, not the Met, which my sister now sings at, or did anyway. Anyway, it's an opera company, and they sing there. And huge thing there. He got great write-ups. The thing is, he was very temperamental.
Yeah.
A skirt chaser, by then, one of the best. You know, he would go out to go get money for my mom and the family and stuff. And he'd be laying with ballerinas in Washington and this and that. So I guess if it were, it runs in the family.
Okay.
But my earliest memory was that.
Okay.
I mean rock and roll wise.
Sure, sure. Getting the Stones. What's that, Sticky Fingers?
The Stones, Creedence. I was playing Creedence when he first heard that, and he goes, that's what he said.
He said it was jail music.
Because the guy sounds.
Oh, yeah.
Creedence, that guy.
John Fogerty had big R&B influence. Yeah.
And then when I put the Stones on him, great. Well, I sound like whining cats.
You know what, though? He was from another music tradition.
Yeah, of course. And, I myself like swing.
Yeah.
I like jazz. Yeah. I like all kinds of music except polka. I just can't get into
that. Polka, okay.
The bump, 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 bump. I can't get into that.
Okay, so we won't play any polka.
All right. That's the deal.
So how old were you when you came to SoCal?
I was 7 when I got to New York. That was the first place I ever went. And I had been to every city in between. We've crossed the country 3 times on Greyhound bus. But it ain't the same with someone holding your hand. Anyway, so I got here when I was maybe 12.
Okay.
Or
6th
11,
grade.
Somewhere
grade.
Between 10 and 12.
Okay.
No, I never went to school.
No.
Until Hollywood Professional, and that is a totally different. The lockers were located in the back. When it rained, every goddamn expensive book you just bought got wet. So you had to buy them again. But it was 4 hours a day because everybody that went there, like Maureen McCormick, I'll drop some names, before me, Peggy Lipton, Mod Squad. Just all sorts. Sadie Khan, the big idol from Teen Idol, Amy Knight. Mia was the show he was in. Jay North, Dennis the Menace.
Dennis the Menace.
Yeah, it was an elephant show, anyway. About an elephant. Anyway, so that was the first school I went, and I went there a few years, and I met a lot of the brats there.
Okay, so this is when you start not just the music you want to make.
Well, I met them, but we never talked about getting together for music until after. And this is odd. My mom took us by bus to see Elvis.
Whoa. Where?
And Elvis was... he was good. I was a
Where was he at?
He was older than at the Forum.
Damn.
And we're on bus.
Yeah, yeah.
We're in the bus, but growing up in Europe, I was just colorblind.
Sure, sure, sure.
My mom, and this is another story, had a probation officer, black, and when I played basketball with his son, who was named Harold. I have this memory now. And he said, so who do you like music with? And I rattled off like the Beatles first, thinking that would impress him, you know. And he'd go, God damn, that's the whitest bunch of people I ever, you know. And he goes, how about the Temptations?
Yeah,
he said to me the Temptations, and I was going, wow, these guys are great, man, thanks. And I got into Supremes and got all at Motown.
And this was from a probation officer.
Yeah,
son of a probation officer.
This is a kill me. They won't hear about
education.
It.
You got educated, right? You got turned on to some new sounds.
But you know, I tell them, it's my story.
That's right.
You know?
It's not his story.
Because,
You know, speaking of Berlin Brats, I got some. Let's play some right now.
That would be great.
Where every girl is a very treasure. underneath are the digital fine. A heart of gold with a shock room mind. I leave my house every morning now, and where I go, oh, no one knows. When I come back early in the evening, well, I shook up things while I think they're gone.
Endlessly, unless, you know, you really should. Sprung, that is. were cut from the same wood. Your sprig, which I raised on, bended not, knotted thee. It's tis of thee, a twig part of me, out of the cradle, then. What do ye eat? Pecker my white ash good, pecker wood. Out of the cradle and rockin'. What's knockin'? Come on, it's time to kick it. Now rock it. Who's rockin' with me? The band played on. We'll see how long. Beginning was the words, and then there was light, for there is no rock god where there is no spotlight. When the music's over, when the music's over, when the music's over, first, chorus, repeat, keep repeating till you get it. Go with the jingle, jingle, jungle, jangle, till you buy it. Kids want candy, can do. I wrote candy too. Kids are always right. No county for taste. You cook the beefsteak. I'll keep my bookkeep. Truth be told, truth's my thing. I kinda tell a lie. I tried, I shall not, and I shan't. Why would I? I'm a cherry tree, Cherie, a la verite, the truth. I'm bootstrapped for molasses and theft happy. I'm nailed to the boards. I rule the stage door, front center stage. Now you get your asses on the dance floor. Go! I'm a cherry tree, mon Cherie. Come on, I'm first row friendly. My roots run deep. I'm more street than you know, but I gotta do a show. It's 12 and teen is plenty. Don't tell no one. Are you growing with me? When the bout breaks, you'll be holding me. Tell me now, don't fill me now, or I'm a felled tree in a forest round, making a big sound, coming down for all the suckers and twigs, saps and tapplers and here. Don't cut me down, don't cut. Can't send the buzz band saw. Put the axe down, let the logs fall, let the limbs, let them grow. Listen in, listen to my sap flow, listen to my leaves flow. Watch me blossom, listen to me bloom. Trim me, prune me, like you should. Don't cherry pick between for a piece of pie. Let me stand, let me make my stay, a monument to a man. Planted here on his own plot with his own pot. Watch behind your ears, between, watch your mouth. Who tattletold? The titters?
yo. ¿Acaso ve los clavos de mi media que tenía ahí? No los tengo aquí yo. No los tenía. ¿Quién los tiene entonces? Parece que los tiene el laucho. El laucho, este gallo. Estoy hace una hora que se echó un pollo, no lo he visto. Sí, parece que el machucón dejó la careta al final. Rique, no te gastó. Oye, qué fresco y qué burro harto por construir todo ahí, ya, pero quién si ese desgraciado más flojo que la mandíbula río. Sí, y va a llegar más contigo que por el guagua, los
seis. Oye, chico,
permiso, compañero.
Adelante, compañerita.
Gracias.
Tenga cuidado que no la haya marcado por aquí. Oye, ya, pues la cara está.
Dicen que los ricachones, caramba, están muy, miren, muy extrañados. Caramba, están muy, miren, muy extrañados. Dicen porque los rotitos, caramba, se han puesto, miren, se han puesto alzado. Caramba, dicen que los ricachones,
Watt for Pedro show. You just heard Tropically Hot from the Berlin Brats. Ahead of that was Inside Looking Out, Amiga's Alpha. Victor Jara. You know about him? He's like the Pete Seeger of Chile. Yeah, incredible cat.
Chile?
He got disappeared when Pinochet took over.
Right? The world
soccer
music.
Stadiums. Very bad days in the 70s. I think 23 boats or something. The guy in... I stayed with somebody.
Brazil won the soccer thing?
That's right, there's a soccer game between. But I stayed with some Chile guys in Barcelona, and they turned me on to this Victor Jara guy. You got to check him out, man.
So
beautiful music. Ahead of that was Good Complexion by Tobacco, Houdini from Cuz. Mm-hmm. New Cuz album, I'm on there with Brother Sam. And then something I'm on before that, I'm on with, along with the proprietor here of this shoppy guitar Sephardt, is Dirk Van Berg, Sock Tight. With Who Tattle Told. What do you kick around that one?
I think so. And maybe Clavies. I don't remember.
Hi-hat?
I can't remember.
I don't remember. What was you doing?
Putting the title with the thing is a little different.
Okay. Sandra Vu in front of that with Tick and Beat. We started all off with House of Pleasure by Berlin Brats, where I was wrong to call it Street is My Home. And back to Rick's story.
And that's quite a story. From
a journey through music, which included a bus trip with your mom and cats who would later turn out to be Berlin Brats to see Elvis Presley at the Fabulous Forum.
By bus.
And,
that
you
was
said
a trip.
It was a good
back day. Then, yeah. That was a trip.
I can imagine.
But, I mean, Elvis was... So I didn't think that was going to be anything, but boy, he was great.
Yeah.
And I mean, they played 2000 when it came out. And then on the end, they go, Elvis has left the auditorium.
They did
like
say
like 5 seconds after he got off stage. Wow.
Maybe anyway. There's some kind of shoot. And they just like.
Oh, yeah, he wanted to avoid all the, at that time, old housewives that were still in. But
I've been to Graceland and see all their names written on the wall. They,
now, she also took us, in her defense, because she did some really crummy things to me. She died 9 years ago.
Yeah.
On June 9th. And that's why I put all my that picture up, and my sisters put it up. So, anyway.
So what happened to get you guys jamming?
All right. So when that school burned down. They, the LA City Council... decided to send half of everybody to Fairfax in the area I lived, which was Hollywood, of course, and on a street called Whitley, which I think is the most beautiful street in Hollywood. It ends at it looks like it's the end of the world above Franklin.
Sure.
You look up there and there's huge palm trees and it's somebody's house or something. But it just looked like top of the world to me, and that's what I always called it. But anyway, it's right across the street from where a bunch of people live, like angry people like that. I just need to set that over. Anyway, so when I lived there, I mean, when I went to school there to Fairfax, I should have been in Hollywood.
Yeah.
But they had me at Fairfax.
Jackson, you're closer to Hollywood
for a while. And, of course, this is one of those things. My dad was not alive at that point. He was already really divorced, basically.
Yeah.
Then I went, there was 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th. So there were 2 years at the professional, which, incidentally, isn't there anymore.
Yeah.
So there are no more 4-hour schools. Oh no, Colin McCune isn't there, I think, too. Anyway, there's got to be somewhere. So I went to Hollywood and reconnected with Matt Campbell, who did a lot of the music on Tropically Hot, not Tropically Hot, but House of Pleasure.
Sure.
a song that isn't on there, I don't know, isn't out there, called I Believe in Love, which is amazing because we recorded it by plugging in next to Rodney's English Disco. We're all about, I couldn't have gotten in L.A. at that point, because I was pushed ahead in school because of being tutored and governesses and my Russian foster grandmother who took over as tutor. My mom was neurotic about having us go out. So, anyway, I never went to school until I was, now they call it homeschool.
Yeah.
Polaise. Anyway, so I went to Hollywood, reconnected with Matt. We all hung out at this weird, all the misfits would go to this one coffee shop. I forget where that was. But I met Jonathan Heff, who came up with that Tropically Hot beginning, you know, the dun dun.
Yeah.
We couldn't figure anything else out on that that started. And he also wrote part of Vinyl. Is mostly me and John, whereas Matt was basically mostly Psychotic, and me and him wrote the music on that. Jonathan was more Vinyl and the more musician type, normal type. I mean, normal. He played a Rickenbacker, so you know what that's like. I mean,
kind of.
Yeah, more he had a 12 string.
Yeah,
that's true.
But I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Like that Tom Petty or the Birds. The Birds had that.
Right. Concept. No, but it really gave us a very unique sound, you know, because it was Stonesy sounding with me, but and Matt. Just
this was
played
your first
an Ampeg.
Was this
the
your
clear
first band?
Ampeg.
Yeah. Oh,
those things are mean sounding. If you have that, they have interchangeable pickups.
Is that right?
Yeah. So when
but
I
was
met,
this your first band?
Yeah.
Who picked the name? I was always curious.
Because at that time, and being pressed ahead, I was very, and still am, very impressionable, like Salvador Dali. No, Picasso said, all artists still, and if they don't, they're not artists, really. You know?
Okay.
And there's something to that, you know?
You but stole the name Brown and Brown?
No. I had seen Cabaret. And you gotta remember, I was not the age that everyone else was. I was a little younger.
Okay.
I didn't do the acid drips and all that. I did maybe acid 3, 4, 5 times in those days. And I loved it. I thought it was fun. But I saw Clockwork Orange the first time I ever took acid. And I'll tell you, that was, I won't say it wasn't fun. It was a lot of fun at first. The scene with the eyeballs and oh man!
But does the name come from there, or it comes from Cabaret?
No. Basically,
you're talking the Liza Minnelli movie, yeah. Joel Grey.
Yeah, and the swastikas and the German, the whole thing, and that's very much true to history because they were the people being buying things were paying with shopping bags
of money
of stuff. Now I'm not. Nazi sympathizer, and I do not hate Jews.
Yeah, I didn't think you would pinned to that.
But I thought, hey, this will piss off everybody.
Oh, okay, because you did it to get a reaction.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and the whole idea was that we were the sons of those guys that went to Argentina. We were the next. And now that there's an internet, I find out that there's a Berlin brat. A bunch of people that were the daughters and granddaughters or grandsons of the American soldiers who marched into Germany.
Oh, wow.
Called Berlin Brat. Sure, I didn't know that because there was no internet. If we had had an internet, who knows?
Wow, that is a trip. Coincidence.
Yeah.
Okay, do you remember your... What'd you guys do? Start jamming in someone's garage? A bedroom?
Better than that. My bedroom at Whitley, the corner of Franklin Whitley, and Rodney came up there and saw us. And
in the room? In your room?
Yeah, it was a two-bedroom apartment.
Do you remember the first song that you guys played together?
It was my first thing I ever wrote called Juice.
Juice.
And it was an A, I'm getting out and that, and that. You know, it's pretty. But you can tell I didn't know anything. I wrote it because that the thing goes, the bridge, you know, da 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 da. What?
Yeah, but you gotta start somewhere, right?
Yeah, I know.
So you guys, what do? You start putting together songs for a set, right?
But Rodney saw.
Yeah, but how did he know?
He comes up because he would see us on the street and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Hey, I'd like to come up. And
are you guys in a band?
Yeah, you guys in the whole bit, you know. But in those days, they didn't give out the psychotropic, that's how I remember those, the name for those. You didn't get it. All right.
I get it.
So they hadn't invented it, and Rodney used to talk. He had an odd delivery.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And he had his
I was on the show a few times. But always a nice guy.
Rodney's a doll. Except if you bother him while he's eating at Denny's.
You don't like that.
Yeah, no. He
comes up to watches you guys practice.
Right, but
you know what
really got him? What? He liked the music, but the idea that we went and got, I should get a cut for this Rainier Ale, the Green Death.
I remember, yeah.
In green
terrible
canister.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I want to say
I don't
terrible.
Think they sell it anymore.
No, they do.
They still do?
And, it's now an important beer.
Oh.
And I think I should have gotten
it. We call it Green Death in Pedro, too.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
No kidding.
It's terrible.
Wow. On
well,
the
what
back
about
of
what
the,
about
the No magazine, they had those shots of Polaroids.
Yeah.
I'm drinking it with a straw. You know, it looks like an ad for it.
Rodney liked that?
No, that we were drinking when we were like 12-year-old kids.
Oh.
At that point.
Yeah.
You said, how old was I when I got here? And I said, maybe 10. I think it was closer to a little younger than that.
Wow.
A little younger. Because New York, I got here at 7. So I know this is convoluted, but.
I understand.
My family.
You were the youngest guy in the band. But
yeah.
You kind of put the band together.
Well, not the breath. I mean, it's
in your bedroom,
all together.
But she's in your bedroom.
Yeah, but that's because everybody. Yeah, I mean.
So you got something to do with it.
Yeah, okay. Definitely. Okay.
You're not just a hanger on, okay?
You got it.
You ain't just a hanger on, okay?
Yeah.
You're kind of. I'm not saying you're the total meister, but there's a little bit of ringleader.
Yeah.
Do you remember your first gig?
Oh. Yeah. Same place twice. And
where?
When I claimed to have started DIY. In a way, I did because I used it as a tactic, and I don't know if other people use it as a tactic to end pay to play, because you basically, like now, have to ask for it.
Right.
I had rented out a place
and
put it on myself.
Yeah.
And I was like 12 years old. I mean, come on.
What's happening?
Weird. So, I'm not slapping myself on the back, but we got kind of pain.
Wow,
of
New York
people.
Dolls bass player.
That's
look,
right.
On the bulkhead here.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Wow. And I wasn't really... I heard them on the radio because they got a push.
Rodney liked them.
They got a push. I mean, a real push.
Yeah.
Money. You know, Marty Thal.
I think Mercury Records.
That's right. Parley,
Marty Thal.
Parlophone or Polyphone was their English...
Parlophone.
Yeah, they were owned by Parlophone. Good, wow.
I know that. But I know about Mercury.
But they put so much money. When I went to the record shop that used to be on Hollywood Boulevard near Wrigley, and there used to be a supermarket, open-air supermarket there. Anyway,
yeah.
I went up there and looked at what the record companies would send. It was like this, you know, pages long of how great these guys were and da-da-da-da-da. And Thunders is admittedly great. I love that.
Yeah,
me
too.
It sounded a lot like Campbell, who is like at 14, was playing like Richards and put Thunders to, Thunders was good, but this guy was younger. I mean, you know, it was wow.
was this gig a success? So you put on your... Because
no, we look, put that
Richard Hell told me that's what the New York Dolls did.
They did? I didn't know that.
There was a place called the Mercer Arts Center.
Oh, yeah, but they rented it to Blue Room Cabaret.
But they would rent this out and put on the shows every week so people knew.
Yeah,
he said it was do-it-yourself stuff. And
see, that's where the internet would have come in to make all of us connected.
But nobody knew. Everyone was doing their own little thing. But you knew about them. And you got Arthur to play? He had his own band, right? It was called Killer King.
Killer King. Yeah. Now, one of the guys got drunk, and we had glasses to drink from, and we got our first groupie, Miss Sheila. Blonde. I still remember because it was our first groupie. And this other girl called Janet. Planet, her name was. Never even seen groupies before. You know? Anyway.
Hey, Rick, hold on. We're at the end of the first hour, so.
Okay.
People, it's June 29, 2014, Dishawaka People Show, special guest Rick Wilder here at Tar Safari in San Pedro, California. Hold tight for hour two. June 29, 2014, the second hour, Wat for Pedro Show.
go to work in the morning. To the left, he's a stone cold jerk. I don't mind you beating your wife, but can you wait till I'm at work? Well, I'm gonna tell you about my neighbors. They're about to drive me off out of my head. Right where my head hits a pillow of my bed. Complaint. When they came by, people, it was me they took in. Well, I'm gonna tell you about my mates. You know they're about to drive me all out of my head. You know they start to hoot and holler. Right when my head hits the pillow of my bed.
Watch for Pedro Show.
Next time.
Good people. Here's Rick Wilder, Dirk Vandenberg, Tar Safari, 424 6th Street San Pedro. West 6th Street. Don't end up in chat. We start off the second hour
Thank
with
you.
Berlin Bratz doing I'm Psychotic.
Very first
then
show.
San Pedro Slim doing Talking About My Neighbors.
Mask.
Yeah. Thank you.
And I do one
Metaletta.
New York doll, Vietnamese baby.
Metaletta.
Oh, great. Thank you so much.
That was a good New York doll. So. From Familia Miranda, Utsu from Hobo Combo, Son in Zaire, both those got Stefano Lea and Andrea Belfi from my Son Yudomainaya trio
wow.
That's going to go on tour in this fall. And they're going to get to visit Pedro for the first time in a couple months.
Pedro.
As They Swim by Tom Gallo. After that, Peer Group with Objectification Live. I think Jimmy Otter's singing there. Gary Jacoby's band. I think it's post, this tune is post Gino Pusta. Because I think Gino had formed Peer Group.
You guys are like historians.
Martin Tamburvich and Ken Stark in that rhythm box that they have like three beats.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And finally, Peel the Sticker Off the Apple by Gigi Dan. They're from Korea. Yeah. Okay.
Speaking of Berlin.
Well, it's all black.
Oh, no. Speaking of Berlin, remember that picture, the band?
Sure. Get back to the story. So, the first gig.
Oh, yeah. The first gig because we had glasses and shit like that. I mean, to drink from.
Right.
No one threw it, but this guy in the band had curly hair and like looked like an offshoot back to the 60s.
Yeah.
He started getting drunk and belligerent.
Yeah.
And of course, Mr. Big Mouth got into it.
Yeah.
And he was like trying to push me around, and we had these other guys, just friends, you know, trying to break it up. Well, I set up a nexo to like sort of, make things a little more, not getting mad, but getting even. And we played our asses off.
This is the second gig.
Yeah. And had a contract, no glasses. And I learned this from Motor, right?
Yeah.
And
learning by doing.
And I had brass people all around with t-shirts.
Yeah.
You know. Anyone was going to start trouble, they were going to the morgue.
Okay. So there was no fight in this second game.
Yeah. Okay. No, I mean, that's why I should have talked with this fucking guitar.
Now, you guys went on to make an album.
That's right.
What was that like? Was that the first time you were in the studio?
That's funny because there was this Highland Towers place at Highland and Franklin.
Sure.
1921, I think it was, or 22. Highland Towers is his name.
Sure.
Everybody odd lived there. I mean, by that, Nightcrawlers, Misfits, musicians, the whole bit. The manager was at that time, what they call gay now, you know. But then it wasn't thought of as so cool. But a lot of the people in the building were his friends.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I met this woman named Annie, who died last year.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But she had paid for us to go to this studio called Audiotronics out in Bumfuckland. I think it was something with an A.
Anaheim?
Not Anaheim, but...
Altadena?
Something like that. But
something outside of
anyway,
L.A.
So she paid for it, and it was like, I remember it was $2,000, and I thought,
I mean, for
me, that was a big...
Yeah, yeah.
But we had done... and I'm skipping over something else.
What's that?
The guy that owned Rodney's was named Tom Ayers. He really was the guy who owned it. But it was not supposed to be known. And he was from Louisiana. A Louisiana guy. I believe he even played in some good band. He has a son who's part of that Rodney's group on Facebook. Which I'm not, but I hear from other people in the group. I get lost.
We'll talk about your first recording.
Oh, the first recording was...
But you said you skipped over something.
No, we went to do that anything.
Yeah.
But before that, everybody in town thought we were like, God or something. The first punk rockers, basically.
Sure.
And we were just about the time the Dolls were here. It was an odd time, and of course we fucked up. But, well, Matt froze. I mean, he just couldn't deal with. They had every groupie. It was too, like the Dolls hugging up too much too soon.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Okay.
It's just too much. Anyway, I love to hear what went down on there, because the stuff I have is good, you know. So anyway, it was Cherokee Sound.
Cherokee by Fairfax Fat.
No, right on Las Palmas.
Cherokee?
Right where the mask would be.
Oh, Cherokee.
Across
the street. You're talking the street.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the studio. There was a studio called Cherokee right
by
Fairfax.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I recorded the Ball Harbor tugboat there. But Cherokee, right, is that little... It's not even a block. It's a short little street.
And it's a tiny studio, really.
Yeah, right.
And so we had never seen anything like that. And they had music people. And it was a lot. And I understand why Matt kind of freaked a bit. You know? But so we got into that. We had already been hired by Adler to do... that Cheech and Chong film.
Yeah, Up in Smoke.
Up in Smoke, and I had done Psychotic. And Darby was so pissed off because
he wanted to
obey that band, you know.
I think the Dills got
got electrocuted.
Yeah, but I think the Dills, and they only used a part of the Dills where they're like tuned
it
up.
That's right, they did. Although I didn't know that. And the song, that's odd you bring them up. Because right now, we're playing with the son of one of the Dills.
Chip?
I'm not sure.
I think it was
he has
Chip.
A son named Giuliano. And he's playing with us. And he is...
Is that a trip?
Really good. I mean, really
I've had
good.
Tony on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were... me and D-Boom were big Dills
fans. It was called
fans.
Faker because they had adopted this communist stance. And anyway... to whoever in the Dells. It was nothing personal. It was just, you know, trying to raise some eyebrows, you know.
This is just music.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show. We heard More Baby by the Mau Maus. I think this is from that video, Target video thing.
Terrible.
It's terrible.
Well,
I like it.
I personally had suggested the bombs and stuff, but I think it kind of held back if it would have been more successful, because people don't want to. Now I think of this. They don't want to see the bombs falling. Everyone lives with that in the back of your mind.
I don't need that. Yeah. Wharton Tears and Selma with Clear the Runway. Hang On from the Gears. Remember the Gears are from the
Oh, yeah.
They got a new song. Cannibalism is the Future by Toe Punt. That's a name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just think of two words and put them together, you know.
Yeah, the English.
Toe Punt. Yeah, it is in England.
The Punters, yeah.
Oh, maybe that's what it means. Yeah. And then finally, Devin Flynn with Buddha's Hair.
We're at the Buddha's Hair?
Buddha's Hair. We're at the end of the second hour of Watt Pedro Show, June 29th, 2014.
I thought Buddha was bald.
That's right.
Oh, I like it.
Hold tight for hour three.
You mind?
No. June 29th, 2014. It's the third hour of Watt from Pedro Show.
died last year, which means I no longer spend Father's Day in the Outback Steakhouse. So I found myself on this past Father's Day wondering, how do the Menendez brothers celebrate Father's Day? You know, how does that go down? Like Lyle calls Eric, collect, at another prison. He's like, hey, remember that time? It was me and you and Mom and Dad and some shotguns. Man, that was a blast.
start off with this very strange thing I found. Mau Mau's doing Roadhouse Blues with Robbie Krieger.
Oh, great, man.
This is only from like a year or two ago, right?
Yeah. We played
now, how did that happen?
On Hollywood Boulevard, the last strip club in existence, on the stretch between Vine and Highland, you know, the big...
Sure, sure.
The money part, okay? They only had one strip bar.
Yeah.
We got it. Picasso got it, actually, our supposed manager, the one I appointed president of Youth Party, which yeah. had quite a stable. We had UXA, we had us, we yeah. had, yeah, I imported her down. Oh, that's
another story. But anyway, this thing with Robbie Krieger.
Okay, yeah, and it had the poles, the whole bit, and we were in the middle of the club, and we played. And Robbie came on and he played with us. He is such a nice guy.
But
no
was
ego.
It a coincidence?
No. He recorded Scorched Earth Policies with Geza.
Is that right?
Geza did the mixing okay. and the vocal.
Yeah.
But Robbie did the sound. Okay. And I'll tell you,
I didn't know he was recording
I picked
people.
Our sound against... He had a sound that... was a lot more blues.
Yeah, yeah, that's
it,
what he
it sounded about. Like blues. I mean,
yeah.
It wasn't.
Was it right? Geezer's good, though.
Yeah.
And then we heard Impaired Nominee from Scarcity of Tanks, Father's Day, something live from Bob Schreiner. I think live from the Redwood. You've done the Redwood.
Oh.
People from Rewild, they're a Roma band.
Oh, yeah.
And The Manual... by 208 Talks of Angels. I think they're from Russia. Freestra, Blooms and Blossoms. They're from the city.
I love it.
And finally, Mystical Weapons, Mechanical Mammoth, which has got Sean Lennon with Greg Sonnier from Deerhoof. I'm going to make an album with him next.
Deerhoof?
New York City and Nels Klein. I was telling you about that on the telephone.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
What ended up happening with the Berlin Brats, and how did the Mau Mau's come about? What's that story, Rick?
The story is we went up to San Francisco. This is after the Cheech and Chong debacle.
Yeah.
Because we almost got electrocuted.
Yeah,
because
sure.
everyone thought the spitting and throwing of water was punk.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we had gone up there and I had seen the flyer. No, we didn't design the flyer, but it was a swastika with... I don't know, some sort of a black type of creature on the top.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was about. I didn't do it, but I can show you the Berlin Brat one. But it was the Avengers.
Yeah.
And us. Sure. And we used to go up there just to have blow off steam. We threw all of our parties and stayed at first, well, the Laurel we stayed at and took off without paying. The parking lot, you could do that then. You
know. Yeah.
But the next few times we did the Manx Hotel.
Yeah.
I think it's still there. And, I say it was Charlotte the Mouth at a place called the San Wong Hilton, to Barry Manilow's, what's the place called? At the Copa Cabana, you know that
Barry
one?
Middle.
So I go to the San Wong Hill.
That's a pad on Catalina and Avalon.
Okay.
I used to see him, yeah, when I worked as a boy.
I write the song.
Right. You didn't write that song. So what happened with the Berlin Brats?
Okay, so we go out there and after the show,
yeah,
we had one of these wild parties, and I got locked in a closet, and I think, in the dark, it was like, Penelope.
Singer Avengers.
Yeah. And I'm like, interesting thing. Everyone got drunk. It was a total mess. Anyway, then we're coming down.
Yeah.
And things had gotten to this point where Keith Hayes from Boston and a band called, he was in the Quingers later on after us. And Forgery, because he had been locked up. I didn't know this. He had been locked up afterwards. Three times they locked him up. Anyway, I don't know if it's out yet. Anyway, hi, Keith, if you're listening. But So I broke up with Jonathan and Keith.
So the band breaks
and
up.
And me and Rick Sherman, who is like my brother. And Matt was just, he wasn't in the band. So it was basically me and Jonathan.
So it was just time to end the Burley Brats?
But here's the thing. I went up to the, like, I went up to the Thunders.
Helen.
I went up there and, Bobby was playing with us and he said he had been in the Dolls. I don't know. But I hear it's true because other people have said that.
Okay.
Bobby Smosky was his name. But this is after Arthur's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Where they all went communist with the.
Malcolm McLaren was the manager, right?
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, all right.
No, because Richard Hell told me about him after he left him. Because they quit and he joined the Heartbreakers, the real Heartbreakers.
Yeah.
And Malcolm wanted to take him back to England.
And that's so sad.
And he wouldn't go, so he dressed these four guys up in England like him.
Right.
And that turned into Sex Pistols.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
It's weird connections, but I still don't understand. I still don't understand
why they broke up. I was telling you, the Plunders, when we went up, they showed me, not them, but walking up.
Yes.
But they're two weird stories. One, Nicky B was walking down.
He's from this town, you know that?
I know. He told me he's even been here a couple of times to pick me up or to just. We went to the Nut House. Because one of the first brats, in fact, the second brat before an audience, first brat audience show, was before a bunch of nuns at the Nut House.
Wow.
And we played at Wilshire Fine Arts.
If you've
been around, remember that place? It was like a bombed out building. It was weird.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And the name, too, Wilshire Fine Arts.
I know. Like, what? Anyway, so when we came down and saw, the thing about Nicky, then I'll tell you, like, what, when we came down and what we saw.
Yeah.
Nicky is walking down while we're walking up, and he had this thing where he liked the band. And, you know, he had told us a story that he bumped into us accidentally, and we just sort of gave him a real dirty look and started pushing him in. Well, I don't remember this, but could have been.
You know, he was important.
Could have been drunk.
You know what? He was important in our history. Me and D. Boone was jamming with a guy at the fort here. They were just about to dig it out, the low reservation, put it in the marina. So it's last days with the barracks. They were renting them out. This guy, Mark Weiswasser, who we're jamming with, you know, like Tie Your Mother Down, just copying songs off records.
Right.
Nicky comes walking by. Nicky had a Kotex around his neck, and he told us there was a scene up in Hollywood where people wrote their own songs.
Yeah.
And that's how we found out about the punk scene.
You got
so
to be kidding me.
Yeah, is all Nicky Beats' contribution.
All right.
So, but I still don't understand.
Sometimes you ever want. Yeah.
I still don't understand, though, how
he's been in so many bands.
Oh, I know it. Weirdos was the big one.
Yeah. But
and Cramps. Yeah, I know. But what about the Berlin Brats breaking up? I don't understand.
Okay, I was trying to say at the Plungers thing, someone had we had the Nicky B thing. Okay, and then somebody
he thought you guys
had,
were giving him attitude, right?
Attitude and stuff. Okay. Anyway, I won't go on with that because it's not that good for him. Anyway, someone handed me a Ramones record, and we were doing this street punk look. You know, it wasn't as they were doing the glam thing. So
he's pointing that picture at New York Dolls people.
Yeah. Now we opened KROQ. By that I mean at the Bel Air or Bel Oz.
K Rock was a station with Roddy
Dillon.
Still is.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What they wanted. That's another story about writing. But the thing is, that at their opening party, we played it.
Okay.
By the pool. We played the party. And Jenny Lenz hasn't.
She's hoarding her pictures,
we,
right?
We really were like the dead end kids. We rode her constantly. You know.
Well, the Plunger Girls, what they have to do with...
No, I'm looking at what... I'm just saying she won't allow any of those pictures
that
were taken.
Oh, I know what. Look, you know what?
All right.
It ain't worth it.
Okay.
No, she's a tripper.
Oh, no, I like her. We're friends again.
Yeah, but she's too precious with the pictures. Those pictures has got a lot
Did
of history.
Did you hear about what happened to Ramones?
No.
So I'll tell you another show.
Okay.
So they handed me the Ramones thing, and something in the back of me just hit. It was like, oh, no. These guys are doing our trip, you know, and the jackets and all. But,
yeah.
And I thought, oh, no. And then I went out. The politics between other people and me was different, because we were playing, if you listen to the Brad album, you can hear that we're playing, we're more like the Damned as far as speed.
Yeah.
And so you could say we're punk, you know.
Yeah.
But when I saw that picture, something went off.
I want to end this band.
We were playing everywhere. We played Van Halen.
Yeah.
Headlining. I always.
But when you saw that Ramones album cover, you thought this band's got in.
No, I
got to start a new band.
And I was bored with it. They wanted to slow it up. I wanted to speed it up.
Oh, okay. There's different directions in the band, but amongst musicians.
Because I wrote a lot of songs.
Sure. Oh, you put together the Mau Maus.
Yeah, I put that together, and that's interesting because I came down. I always did this. I would walk around Hollywood, basically right around my house, and I would find these great little holes in the wall, you know.
Yeah.
Well, this hole in the wall had Brandon, the mask.
Okay, the mask.
And they didn't have a name. They called themselves New Era Studios. We got a rehearsal space there. That was all
practice pad, right?
But I had met Paul, and we had 8228 because I got thrown out of the other place in Hollywood where we all stayed. The thing with the State Canterbury, and for all types of reasons. So go to this 8228, and it was just like there was a burnt out building. I'd have a party.
Yeah.
And then I'd take my little machine when the cops came, and I'd go over the burnt up apartments and walk into my own apartment, sit down, listen to all the shit. That was it. Anyway.
So the guys you met at the Mask become the Mau Maus.
Well, yeah. Rick Sherman came from the Brats to stick with us, even though our first show at the Mask, we have a Mexican gangbanger who played, I think he was a gangbanger, I'm not sure, Richard, because he just got in touch with me.
Oh, great.
Shout out,
Richard. This is like 37 years ago.
Right, no. What can I say? there are some things I got. But that's what happened with that. And then Sherman took over drums, and between him and me, here's another little known fact, and I don't say this to diminish Shannon, who was probably a love of my life outside Lori, and I started Castors as well. Now,
that's
what I was going
to ask you, but it was Shannon.
This is odd, because Al's Bag will say, well, Shannon told her the name of the band. This is possible. I'm not saying it's not. She was going with Rick because she sucked around. I went with 20 years, so I know her habit.
Alice has got a new band. Do you know that?
Oh yeah, she's always got a new band. And it's in Arizona.
I think it's called The Riffs.
She riffs.
I like that. And the housewife thing, Dire Mad Housewife.
Violence Girl.
Huh?
I think her book's
Violence Girl. Yeah. I'm supposed to go to that.
She's incredible. I mean, she's still going.
But she said that she didn't think that was true.
Okay.
I have
to set this record straight.
I have.
Rick Wilder started the Castrations.
Yeah, it was me and Sherman who was going with Shannon. Now, the girl that sang is named Jill something, and she was Chris Desjardins.
Chris was the flesh eater singer.
Right. And she was a member, Julie, or his girlfriend.
She's still
Susan Ives.
She's a solo singer now.
Oh, she's alive. Okay, so maybe
Julie Christensen.
Her name's Julie Christensen?
Wasn't that?
Well, then if someone asked me, because I have pictures from that.
It's hard for me to remember, okay.
All right, no, I understand.
But anyway, the Mau Maus.
Yeah, I wanted an all-girl Mau Maus. So, but I wanted to start it by giving them the direction, and sure. I play guitar. I had my own Ampeg, which is how I got friends with Greg Ginn. And because we had loved...
Oh, you're talking about the clear plastic guitar.
Yeah, the Ampeg.
That's why you were saying...
Dan Armstrong.
Yeah, but Dan Armstrong designed it, and I think Ampeg put it out.
Right. But
you
that
could
was
trade the pickups.
Shelter.
Now I know what you're talking about. There was bass ones, too.
It's mean. It
no,
just
but
had a mean... The heavy...
Heavy, right.
Pop.
And I think the neck was metal.
Wood.
Somewhere.
They were wood, I think.
Yeah, it was
wood. Yeah, wood, okay.
Yeah. But it was heavy. That plexiglass,
yeah.
I don't know. The second Ampeg I had, Matt had sold me his, but the second one I had was lost at a late Roosevelt show. We did that over 10 times.
People at Roosevelt Hotel's famous pad on Hollywood Boulevard.
We opened it to punk.
I saw Ima Sumac. You might have went with me.
I didn't go to that one, no.
No, we saw it like 4 or 5 times there.
Yeah.
We saw little Jimmy Scott who just passed away. You were with us for that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We're talking about the lobby.
Right. Man, I remember falling down. One of the times I was straight.
Yeah.
I fall down. I start to, someone had asked to take a picture, turn around.
Down the stairs.
Yeah. And I go like this, but I couldn't hold anything. And I kind of have this way of knowing how to fall.
Yeah.
Because of acting and
sure.
crap. I fell, and I was fine. And I looked up at people.
Because in the movies, that's how they always kill people.
I look up at people, and they're like, Rick, are you all right? And I go, I'm ready to put my clothes up, Mr. De Niro. And I knew, I said the new name, you know. So I was thinking.
Yeah, how did you get the name Mau Maus?
All right. That's an easy one.
Did you know there was an English version of Mau Maus?
Yeah, but yeah. They even say on their they say on their site or their album that it was named after a famous Hollywood.
Yeah, they're like a middle ladies
right.
band or something.
They came out in 1981.
Oh, really? Earlier?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, 1982.
But
I think.
Original Mau Maus, wasn't it a tribe?
No, that was of course it was a tribe, yeah. It meant it, and that's why we liked it. It was man eating, flesh eating, you know, cannibal.
Whoa. Yeah.
So that's why
Whoa.
We took that. And
okay.
also, there's a Christian group, I'm sure you might know this, in New York. They were not a group, but they were, Eddie was his name, and he turned from drugs and everything. Into this Christian help everybody thing. And I had a book out. But I didn't know this. There was no internet. Anyway, so...
You mean he called his book Mau Maus?
Rod Donahue and I went into it and said, yeah, Mau. Mau. You know, we were thinking of Mau.
What, Mao Zedong?
Yeah. And then we thought about it. Rod said, well, what about this, you know? Repetition, you know, like go, you know, and it stuck, you know, it sounded good. So, anyway.
Do you remember playing with the Minutemen at the Annie Club?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Evan Lee. You know the Russell and Helen. Oh.
She was a piece of work, huh?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
She's interesting.
Oh, that tiny place, too.
Yeah. Played there many times,
yeah.
but,
I remember you guys. I'd see
one thing
it.
I was. We always wondered about why didn't the Mau Maus record?
Well, the thing was, we had gotten such. We were like the Hollywood Sex Pistols.
Right.
And it went to our heads a bit. And we wanted to be paid, you know, for our stuff. Like all artists should be.
Yeah.
You know, I always pay bands on my. Ask the viewers, ask anybody that played that 7-block-long crowd, the Redwood. I had come back from New York and did not expect this. Some of the little 17-year-old chick that I went with and hi, Elizabeth. And I'm going through, and I couldn't get through. You know, it was like so mob.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't park, you couldn't anything. Anyway, so we finally made it up there, and it was like a film. It was like Hero Returns and all that. And the second.
No, but that's a good thing.
The Echo Plex, we should never have done, because it would have been the same thing, but the Echo Plex was built as an experiment for sound.
You're talking about Echo Plex.
Yeah. And now they do punks, part-time punks there.
Oh, right, right, on Sundays.
We're supposed to do that next week. No, they don't do Sundays. Because they won't let them. They do Sundays because the guys that own the Echo won't do the gay things, and the gay things pay. That's how they make the money. So,
yeah, but Rick, why didn't the Mau Mau record?
Okay, all right. Yeah, remember.
I mean, this is good stuff.
No,
I'm not saying it ain't. But I'm always curious.
You gotta understand.
You didn't want to record.
I got a few conditions.
No. You didn't want to record because you didn't have a deal that was fair.
Right. I didn't think any of the deals were fair. Okay. And I mean, we had like loads of. I mean, we had like a standard set that we did.
Yeah.
That wasn't as long as later now, but. 30 minutes maybe, but they were, I mean, really fast. I just slashed through it. This is the angriest band I've seen in town, you know.
Kick Boy.
And I, yeah, right.
He was a good guy.
I went to London in 78,
yeah.
Right after what I call our debut at the Roosevelt. It was not really, but I thought, remembering, you know how you remember back different. So this is why I didn't want to record with all these. I thought, well, let's record with Ed, the big Bob Biggs, or somebody like that, you know. And we
Bob
had
Biggs,
to
right,
talk
right,
to
right.
Sire, the guy that ran that Soul something or another. I don't know. I think his name was that. We thought we'd get a better deal anyway. And then we had a manager who had the connections. And
yeah.
Actually, little known story, but this is true. Paul had gotten, he was friendly with the Krieger connection, and he was friends with Dan Sugarman and all these people. Sugarman was, but between the Joneses, who has the off like,
remember the Joneses?
I didn't know it, but they had,
I didn't know them that well, but we played some gigs with them.
They were off like the whole thing, you know.
I wonder what happened to those guys.
They just did a reunion.
Oh, they did?
Paul.
And there were some guys that...
Paul played
you know
guns for me.
And some of those guys knew the TSOL guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Joe Woods and...
Anyway, they just had a reunion at, I think it was Loaded on Hollywood Boulevard.
So, that was a problem. There was a band imitating you.
Yeah, well, yeah. And the thing is, Paul thought that he would give the Joneses to Sugarman. And the sure record contract now.
Sure.
Paul? Oh, and there could be no sandwich for that. I mean, because at that point, it would have been perfect.
Okay.
But
so it was
he
just
wanted
timing,
to do
yeah,
it
I understand.
Himself. Yeah. Anyway,
okay, because
that's why we didn't record. That's the main reason. I mean,
okay. But last year,
yeah,
put out a Mau Mau's album.
Last year, the end of the year before, Scorched Earth Policy was
yes.
Scott, who came back. He's the guy that broke his back and I didn't know you lived through that, but broke his back falling out of the Vex in East LA,
right out of the window.
We had done
that. I remember that.
It was the John F. Kennedy Memorial Show, right? It was us, Castration Squad, and somebody. Now, I didn't play with them, but we played Club 88. This is why I say I have the tapes, the pictures. Anyone wants to, you know, ask me. But
so
Shannon wrote all the songs.
Okay, so Alice is wrong, right?
Shannon wrote all the songs. And Sheila is another story. Ugh. She was always negative about Rod.
But how did this happen?
What?
You coming together with the Mau Maus after all that time to right. make Scorched Earth policy.
Oh, because of Scott, the guy that fell
right.
out of the...
Fell out and broke
well, he got, he's been in like all his bands and yeah. the Cramp.
Right.
And after the Cramp, after what's his name died, Lux, who's great.
Yeah. Very sad.
Yeah. And so is Nick Corin, if you know who that is. The guy that sounded like Little Richard.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I couldn't tell.
Who else did we just lose? Bobby Womack.
Yeah, another one. It's great people. So he came back and I was still in New York and I had just gotten back.
How long were you in New York?
Picasso.
How long were you in New York?
Oh, I've been back and forth because yeah. we owned an apartment there, and when my mom died, she had stayed there. But when she died, I had been in... Oh, this is funny. In 2005, I was finally in rehab, and this was like Music Cares rehab. I mean, it was swank. I had a Olympic swimming pool. Had a pool table. It had air conditioning, the whole bit, you know.
Yeah.
Anything you wanted, you had, you know, except, but everyone would line up for the closet, you know, because the closet would open and they had the drugs in there. Anyway, so...
So you come back from New York, Paul's...
But because of that, I went back to New York because yeah. of that. My sister's concept, my mom is dying. I don't know why it is, but God seems to want me to, everywhere I go, there's a meth plant right next to me. Weird. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, but those were those days. Anyway, so Paul had set it up with Paul Black Jones. The two different LA Guns. That's a whole... Anyway, so they all got it together, and it was going to be between either Paul's record or Scott's record, and Scott sort of got it.
Okay.
Anyway, so that's how that came apart. I came about, but they wanted to record my vocals. First of all, I got the money to do that through Paul and all. They paid for that, and...
Do you want some water?
Pardon me, people. I'm getting lyrics.
Here's water, too.
Oh, thanks so much. So they wanted to record my vocals in a living room with a wood floor, with a rugged floor.
Yeah.
You don't get any play.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, no nothing.
Too absorbed.
And I couldn't get my sound out of it, and I had been off for 8 years, except in New York where I played in a blues band. You know, Ace of Clubs is great. But they have an Ace of Clubs here, I think. Anyway, so because of that, I went back. They said, my mom is dying, and I go out there, and I'm going between two stories.
No, I'm just asking how this Scorched Earth policy came
about. Okay, so Paul had talked with, unbeknownst to me, when I got back, they had already had this all set up.
Oh, okay.
So we met at the Bright Spot, I think it was.
Over here?
Yeah, it was one of these.
It's a Mexican
anyway.
Chow pad right here.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay,
it's a coffee joint, anyway. I don't remember where, but I think it was...
It's right here between 6th and 7th on Pacific.
But there are a few of them, that's what I'm
that's
saying.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a Wemoss one.
We met and all got together and decided we didn't have to kill each other or anything, and everyone, you know...
But you didn't dig having to do the vocals in the living room.
No.
So what, you redid them?
That's how Geza comes into it.
Yeah.
Because I said, look...
Geza's from the old days,
I'll
people.
The Mommy Man,
sure.
the...
Dead Kennedy album.
Arthur J and the Go-Kart.
Arthur J, right.
This guy...
Also, he was in Deadbeats.
He also just made a movie and they interviewed me on the end where I'm sitting...
With Don?
A velvet chair.
Is it with Don Bowles?
Oh, yeah. He asked the questions, like, is that some Nazi inquiries? I don't know. Very odd. And I'm
asking about Nazis?
I'm doing this. I'm smoking.
Because Because of the Berlin.
They go, you were before everyone, you know.
Yeah.
I said, well, I can't. Oh, and they gave me some plaque or something.
You got a plaque.
I go, right? Like, oh, this is wonderful.
So what you do is you redo the vocals for Scorcher Policy with Geza.
With Geza. And
the
you know what?
He's got downtown.
I lived at this place called the Gaylord, which is a gorgeous old fucking Hollywood hotel.
Uh-huh.
Had, and they have glass cases with all the Hollywood names that Norma Desmond, but Gloria Swanson and all these people that had stayed there across from what is now a school, 1 through 12, incidentally, on Wilshire Boulevard and Kenmore, what's the other, Alexandria. And it had the first, we would play the Redwood to start, but the first pirate bar was this HMS Bounty in the
bar.
So every, I had had a whole new sex life there, believe me, because every, the night crawlers all stayed there.
Sure.
So every chick that goes in there, as he was signing albums, you know, he'd been the over album circuit,
Well, it
and
ended
they
up
saw being, that.
Geza did a good job because it ended up a great album.
Well, yeah, yeah,
I like
yeah.
It.
I'm
like
doing that.
You know, if a young
Fargo
person,
accent.
Rick, if a young person getting into music, wanting advice, what would you tell them?
Stay the fuck away from living on the internet. You know, get out there and meet people and play. You know, and Jack White did the same thing of saying what I said. I told Scott, and I told all these guys in my so-called band that I said, no cameras. I don't want to do these camera things where people are doing that in the moment. They're documenting the moment, but they're not feeling the moment. You know?
Yeah.
Jack White did it, and you know what? The crowd got into it. Because they could go nutty, you know, and you don't have to sit there and watch the camera.
What's your next plans, Rick?
We're re-recording now. I got Nikki on drums. I've got Giuliano and a guy who played in the Joneses, but of course they got rid of him because he was too good. Never mind.
Okay.
Anyway, and Nikki, and the bass player before for the Mamas, Danny Cooperson.
Wow.
So basically, it is the Mamas.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Because Nikki was just.
So what's the plan to make an album?
Yeah. No, I've already started with the single, and the single we're going to do, I'm not going to mention names, but we're going on national TV. during the 50th year of somebody's band, you know. And he's putting it up and gonna
right.
You know, he's bad. So I and if you're an agent out there, get in touch with me.
Okay, people. There's a website called MauMauz.com.
Right.
Because I've been there, and it's all about the Scorcher Policies.
Right. Well, it can be anyway. It goes to all of Scott's other bands.
That's right. It's a gateway.
Go to MauMauz.com or MauMauz on Facebook. Or if you really want to have some fun, and look at art and some of the great things that artists have made throughout the years, go to RedRum666 Rick Wilder. It's a page on Facebook. Or
come see him live.
I could list any side. I'm on.
Be doing some gigs in the future. And
yeah,
go
no.
See this man because he's beautiful.
When the next season starts, we've got shows lined up.
Right. I want to thank you so much for joining me and Dirk at the Guitar
thank
Safari.
Thank you for asking me.
Come down to the shoppy here if you need
Guitar Safari.
Right. Or work done on your instruments. It's been.
He did mine. He did a killer job.
Oh, respect. June 29th, 2014 edition of Wafa Pedro Show, everybody.
Just real short. Go out there if you haven't seen them yet. See the Alley Cats with Randy. Don't look at what a person looks like. Listen what they're doing and what their soul is putting out in the instrument. That's the important thing. And the other thing, go see Alborian and the Danes. and go see Dookie Pricewater Haunted Garage. It's quite a show. And always 45 grade.
Thanks again, Rick.
Anytime, Mike, and thank you for having me.
Keep your powder dry.